Can you hear me? Am I on? Good. He's right. Nate's right. Can't think of a better person to talk about character. If you want to learn about crime, talk to a criminal. All right? Come on. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. For short notice joke, not too bad. Let's jump right in. I got way more slides than I have time, so we're going to try to move right through this. And I also don't talk at Puerto Rican speed like Jay Santiago. I'm more of a Texas guy. We're chill, right? All right. What's fun these days is to go to ChatGPT and ask it questions. It's really legit, pretty interesting. You can learn some neat stuff. You can set up a great college essay, all kinds of stuff. So I asked ChatGPT, which five figures from literature or real life are universally accepted to be paragons of good character? I'm sorry about the use of the word paragons. I don't really talk that way. It just came out of my fingers. But that's what I asked ChatGPT. Number one, who did they say? Close. Gandhi. Number two, Atticus Finch. All right, can I get an amen? All right, number three, here you go, Kurt. St. Teresa, we say now. Number four, Nelson Mandela. All right. Number five, Jesus of Nazareth. And I thought, well, now that's interesting. He makes the list of the top five. Now, mind you, what I'm doing is I'm accepting ChatGPT as sort of the world's knowledge, right? Anybody got a problem with that? So I'm asking the world, give me five good characters. And they're saying, here's five, and Jesus is number five. And I thought, well, it's interesting, he's on the list. Why number five? And we're going to get to that later because I decided to. How did you select the ordering of these five characters? I asked the world. And I got an answer, and we're going to talk about it more later because I want to get through this, and I got a story to tell. So just remember he's number five, and it has to do with universal acceptance, right? Can take that. All right. We'll come back to that later. Character. Conduct is what we do. Character is what we are. That's E.M. Bounds. That's an apple tree. If it's getting good showing good conduct, it's producing nice red shiny apples, which it can only do if it has solid roots of good character. This called into mind to me, they're doing pretty good at assignment, what we do, and identity, what we are. You guys are good. This is not doing a darn thing, is it? All right. I thought, okay, it's kind of wonky, but it seems weird. All right, go. Primary components of character, there are three that Josh gives us. Blamelessness. Self-control. Yeah, I just turned over the army and the leadership of the United States. Nope, no more for me, thank you. Courage. Anyone know who that is? Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Mr. Hitler. Oh, Herr Hitler. I'm concerned about the soul of Germany. How about that? You know, Hitler's response, I will take care of the soul of Germany. Herr Bonhoeffer. My goodness. So we're going to look at these three components through the lenses of success, failure, and growth. Going right on through. Blamelessness. Blamelessness. Number one. Really could have been reversed and be at the end after I wrote all this and looked at it. I thought, maybe I should have turned it around, but I didn't. I talked about that a little while. Blamelessness. Integrity, I think, is perhaps the best word here. Oneness. Who are you? Who are you at home? Who are you at work? Who are you at church? Who are you by yourself? Are all those four yous, are those the same people? Let's make them the same person. Blamelessness is not the same as faultless, thank goodness. Not the same as sinless, thank goodness. That means even I can be blameless. I'm certainly not faultless or sinless. Titus is written, or Paul writes in Titus, you should not be open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. I guess like paragon, there's debauchery is a word I don't use a lot. What we're talking basically about is some sort of willful or wanton sinfulness or self-importance. Now, hopefully not too many of us in here have a problem with the debauchery part, but there is a certain gluttony we can all fall into. But insubordination or self-importance, putting other things ahead of the truth or the truth, let's not fall into that. It takes humility. Blamelessness takes humility. Humility is what allows you to go to your wife and say, honey, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry what I said while we were docking the boat. I'm sorry. Tell your kid, I'm sorry what I said, right? Call your buddy and go, hey, I got a problem with this. This is our path of blamelessness, right, is repentance. Screw tape. So I kind of did my own little channeling C.S. Lewis. It's not in the Screw Tape book, boy, but maybe it ought to be. Should the patient recognize his sin, convince him that it's better if no one knows, that he shouldn't risk the mission by showing himself a hypocrite. Let him believe, rather, that he will do better next time. Again, not in the book. So, how do we succeed in the realm of blamelessness? All right, well, one thing this presupposes is there's been some kind of failure, right? There's been some kind of sin, some kind of fault. How do we go from blame to blamelessness? Well, don't hide and don't pride. Pride, the big P, the big problem we have. We don't want anyone to know. And by the way, hi, everybody out there in Zoom land. I meant to say hello before. Sorry I didn't. Glad y'all are with us. We don't want folks to know, right? I want folks to see this nice jacket. I don't want them to see the stain in here. So I kind of hide that. Maybe I'll button this up. It's all right. Nobody will see it. We hide. We pride because we're afraid. We don't want the real us to be seen. We want to have all four of those jacks. Got to make it right. Probably that fault, that sin, there was some kind of injury associated with that. We got to go make it right with somebody. If nobody else, we got to make it right with the Lord. Lord, I've sinned against thee and sinned against thee alone. Right? How do we fail? Now, this is real powerful now. We conceal. Talked about that. We deny. No, that wasn't me. That was my cousin. And we minimize. It's no big deal. Just normal. Just with the guys. That's just normal guy stuff. That's who we are when we get together and play golf and drink and smoke cigars. That's just who we are. Minimize. Now, somebody is not pleased with that behavior. You need to make it right with that person. How do we learn and grow? Three easy steps. Confess, repent, repeat. Confess, repent, repeat. You guys know I'm a big Joby Martin fan, right? Church of 1122, Jacksonville, Florida. Great podcast, great preacher. I like this picture of him because it's kind of what he's always doing. He's pointing at some guy and kind of with a wink in his eye saying, dude, you better get your ship straight. And so what does Joby Martin say about this? He says, you want to be the leader in your home? Be the lead repenter. Right? Are you the lead repenter in your home? If you think of servant leadership to your family, does the word repentance spring to mind? I don't know about you, but anytime I'm at the house and start thinking about how I should be in charge, I better start praying right there. Uh-oh, what is it I'm missing here? Because we go back to, I want to be in charge, that can easily be that pride thing. And we need to lead through a spirit of service to our family and of repentance. Self-control, number two, doing the right thing for the right reason. Self-control. Not out of reflex, but out of intention. We're acting out of intention. We're taking each thought captive. We're considering consequences of our actions, of our choices, trying to make intentional choices. Okay, we do have to act out of reflex from time to time, because time is short, tensions are high, energy is high. But through disciplined practice, we can develop the proper reflexes. Through disciplined practice and thought and intentionality, I can realize when I'm starting to get a little bit angry, right? And then maybe I'll do something calm instead of like grabbing the dog and dragging him up the stairs and throwing him in the room and closing the door. Oh, why does he got to bark so much? In Titus, Paul writes, we should not be self-gratifying, indignant, drunk, violent, or greedy. Now, that sounds like a pretty bad dude. I can tell you I've been all those things. I don't know if I've ever been them all at once. Man, I've been all those things. If you've never been any of those things, thank you. You've got 40 minutes, back to your life. I'm real good at that first one. I'm real good at putting what I want ahead of a lot of other things, right? I've had a problem with pornography. I've had a problem with self-gratification, right? Lots of guys have. I confess that. If that's what's controlling you, find a battle buddy. There's freedom. There is freedom out there. Talk to Jim Hassett, for crying out loud. Go to the Conquer series. I'm indignant all the time. I'm rarely drunk, and hopefully rarely violent, and I'm always greedy. I always want a little bit more. Confess that to you. I really do. I want a little bit more. So what do we have to do? We have to address. So I talked about intentionality, acting out of intention. Address, what is this thing that's trying to control me? And I don't know, a year or so ago, maybe a little more, we talked about the three. So we have Satan out there prowling like a lion, seeking whom he could kill and destroy, right? And he's got three tools. Lust of the eyes. I want to have that. I see that thing and I want it. Lust of the flesh. I want to feel that. I know what that feels like. I had that feeling once before and I want it again. I want it at my disposal. And the pride of life. You know what? I just deserve that. I work hard. I'm entitled to have that. Where's this hit me? Some of you guys may know, I love to sail. We do some sailing trips. My friend called me up. Here I am on a Sunday, banging, I got to get these slides done for Tuesday morning. Ah! My friend Brad Grain. Harry here? Where's Harry? You know Brad, right? Brad Grain calls me up. Going to buy a boat. Oh! Going to buy a Lagoon 43. That's excellent. Happy for him and the family. Oh! That's all three of those for me. I want to have that boat. I want to feel the sun and the wind. And by golly, I work hard. I deserve that. Maybe for another time. Screwtape does not want you. Hear this. He does not want you to analyze this choice before you make it. Let him think. Don't let the patient recognize your scheme. He doesn't want you to see this as a test, as a scheme to secure you for his father's kingdom down below. No, it's just normal. These are just natural needs. It's just what men need. It's no scheme of the devil. How do we succeed in the realm of self-control? Recognize the risk, right? I feel the anger welling up in me. Don't blow up here, Jack. Clickbait, right? You know what makes me angry these days? Amazon Prime. It says, I select a show to watch and it says, click here to go ad-free. I'm like, ad-free? I paid for Amazon Prime. You guys sold me a bill of goods. All right, so I just exploded a little bit there. Nice try, screw tape. I see what you're doing there. I see you. I see you trying to get me to consume that one more drink. I see you trying to convince me to eat that one more slice of pizza. I see you trying to convince me to click on that picture, say that thing to my wife, seek that gratification for myself. I see you. Nice try. Nice try. And then move on. Give thanks to God for walking along with you. If you stay there in your success, the self-control, there you are, pride man. A big old P on your chest. Look what I did. Look what I did. And my wife would say, yeah, you have to get the C for critical man off of there first. How do we fail? We just choose to consume. Much of our failure of self-control just has to do with consumption, the lust of the eyes. I want that thing. I'm going to consume it. I click, I buy, I look, I eat, I drink, I consume. Stop for a second consuming. We detonate. Oh, Amazon Prime. Ugh. With God's help, I'm getting so much better not just saying, letting what comes out of my mouth, what's in my head. How much pain could we avoid by just stopping it right there? And I talked to a counselor one time who gave this model. Hold this. Do this right here. You think about saying something, first do this. And then decide whether it comes out. First hold it down for a second. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Okay, let's let it out. If it's none of those things, maybe we hold it in at least for another hour. Let's think about it before we say that thing. How do we learn and grow? Name it. Stop. Hold it. Name it. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. What is this thing trying to get me right now? Call your battle buddy. Please call your battle buddy. If you don't have a battle buddy, get one. I always think of Toy Story when I hear that. Woody says, if you don't have a moving buddy, get one. If you don't have a battle buddy, get one. If you don't have a battle buddy, you're saying, I got this. I got this. You know what? You ain't got this. You ain't. It's got you. Satan's out there like a lion prowling around singing, he can seek, kill, and destroy. More props to Joby Martin for that one. You ain't got this. Oh, march forward. I just add that at the bottom left. I knew when I set this up it was going to be hard to see. Again, you got to address it, assess it, move on. Because again, when we wallow in our failures, that's almost as bad as the failure itself. Page 128 of the book. If you have the book, I'll tell you what I did. I took a snapshot of page 128 and texted it to my young men. They're young. They can be saved. I'm old. I'm done for. Page 128, take a look. Somebody at your table's got the book. I've got the book. Come see me. Snap that. You got some young men in your life or young women, young people. Man, and I keep going back to Admiral McRaven. Make up your bed. Make up your bed every day. And I kept trying to tell my boys, just make up your bed. Why? It's not that important. You're right, but someday something's going to be important. Something's going to be important. If you can do things with discipline that aren't important, you can do things with discipline that are important. I believe that. I don't know if they make up their beds now. Who do you need to send a copy of page 128 to? Okay, keep going. Courage. Courage. You know that's the Navy Medal of Honor there because it's got an anchor on it. If it was the Army one, it'd be green. If it was the Air Force one, it'd have some big gaudy gauche lightning bolts and stuff on it. Courage, placing virtue above your personal comfort. Personal comfort. How about your personal safety? How about your life? We're not often called to place virtue above our lives, but some of us have been. Lots of folks in this room, lots of folks in this community have made decisions at points, say, my life is not important as some virtue right now. That's suffering, being willing to suffer or suffering so that another won't. Or enduring embarrassment or pain so that the truth is known. Now, this comes a little more closer to what we might have to deal with on a more frequent basis. Am I willing to be embarrassed or suffer some kind of pain so that the truth is known? What's the value of the truth here? Hey, we substitute that little T for capital T truth. Now you got an evangelist. Now you got a disciple. Now you got an apostle. Willing to suffer pain, embarrassment so that the truth is known. Willing to go down to the metro station on a Thursday and pray for people. Willing to get out. Is Dallas here? He's not here. He's absent again. He's back, but he's not here. Yeah, I know. He's in training. Willing to stay. What was it? Honk if love Jesus. Willing to stand on the side of the road and hold a sign. Enduring a little embarrassment, pain, whatever, ridicule, so that the truth is known. I pass those opportunities up all the time. Courage also. How do you answer a charge when the only possible outcome is a negative one for you? Is the truth that important to you? Hey, you know, it doesn't matter. Nobody will know. It's not that big a deal. Back to the deny and minimize. Are you the same person? Are you blameless? Does truth really matter to you? And there is, of course, the exception. Honey, that dress looks amazing on you. Fear is not the opposite of courage. Fear is a tool. Fear helps the caveman not step outside the cave and get eaten by the saber-toothed tiger, right? But caveman got to eat just like everybody else. If your fear keeps you from doing what is necessary, that's a type of paralysis. That's closer to the opposite of courage. Yeah, we're good. Keep moving. I like it. How do we succeed with courage? We stand firm. Stand firm, put on the full armor of God that you may defeat the schemes of the devil. We engage. That full armor of God doesn't do much good on the sidelines. Wait a minute, I'm mixing metaphors. Doesn't do much good in the rear echelon. Got to engage that situation. How do we fail? We stand aside. I'll let that guy take care of it. Let's just see how it plays out. This will take care of itself. It's not that important. I don't have to get involved. We retreat. I really don't want to face that negative consequence that's coming my way if I stand firm and engage. That could go badly for me. I think I'll just move away from that. Or worst of all, what I do every day, how about I just blend in? How about I just look like those people? Can I just do that? Yeah. I don't want to stand out too much. How do we learn and grow? Well, again, we're talking about a failure of courage has happened. What do I do with it? Don't wallow in it. I think there's a theme. It's kind of come in every one of these. We can't live in that thing. If you have some failure and you live in it, devil wins twice. First, he convinces you to do the thing. Then, where he really gets his hooks in you, shame, guilt, self-recrimination. It's like, oh boy, a twofer. Got him to fail, and I got him to feel really guilty and shameful about it. Our shame was nailed to a cross, gentlemen. Our guilt was nailed to a cross so that we can say, yup, did it. That sucked. I hate it. I'm moving on. We have to look at things. We have to assess. We have to debrief. The Blue Angels, after, I love watching little snippets of their things. After their shows, they sit in, they debrief the show. And, you know, maybe Blue Angel 1 says to Blue Angel 4, you were 6.5 inches when you were supposed to be 6 inches from my wingtip. And Blue Angel 4 says, got it, boss, I can fix that. They identify, they assess, they move on. I can fix that. I've carried that little thing in my head. Thank you, Blue Angels. I can fix that. Not if I don't think about it, though. You have to consider Christ's power, presence, and promises. I don't know. Why did I write consider? You have to believe them. You can't just consider them. The whole world considers them, and he ends up number 5. Right? Not consider it. What if the whole world believed it? Sorry, Gandhi. Take our good friend here, the Cowardly Lion. Who knows how to say it best? What did he want? Courage. Thank you, courage. I love it. Courage. What did the Oz give him? A medal. A medal. Why? Because the courage was there, right? Is it broken? Change the batteries. What did he really need? Realization. That's what Oz gave the lion. Realization. It's just something that was there inside you the whole time. What do we really need? Realization. Realize the God of angel armies is by your side, interceding for you. Not just when you're in distress, not just when you're in failure, right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints. You got to know that. You got to realize that. Oh, and not just for courage. You need to realize that for blamelessness. I can go to that person. I can make it right. I can call my battle buddy and confess that thing. Because Jesus is with me. He hung that shame on the cross for me. Back to the beginning. I said, how do you select the ordering of these 5 individuals? ChatGPT came back with a pretty long explanation, but this is the meat of it. While arguably the most morally influential figure in human history, Jesus is also most religiously framed, which can affect universal acceptance, depending on the audience's background. So the world is saying, we love what this guy maybe said. We're just not sure if he really was. And I think Jesus might take that. Okay, love what I said, don't yet know that I was, that's what we need to work on. So for me, if my conduct is the fruit of Jesus' moral influence on my character, if my apples reflect how rooted I am in Jesus, right? We following here? I'm at Lost the Army, guys. All right. Then what does my conduct, what do my apples say about my acceptance of existence, his existence, teaching, and promise? Does my conduct demonstrate that I have that realization? Does my conduct demonstrate that I place high value on blamelessness, self-control, and courage? All right, I promise you a story. I'm out of time, but I'm going to say it anyway. I got a call last week from a buddy. He called his battle buddy. I guess he'd already read my slides, which I hadn't even prepared yet. He's on an out-of-town trip with his group, his project team. He calls me. He's like, Jack, I got to talk to my battle buddy. I'm like, excellent. I'm here for you. Go. What happened? How can I make you feel bad about it? That's my gift, right? The big C on my chest, as my wife would say. Well, you know, it's great. I'm here with the team. We're having a great time. We go out, you know, and I kind of have a standard for behavior. I have a standard for consumption when I go out. Well, I kind of violated that. Consumed a little too much. My behavior wasn't exactly what I wanted it to be. And now I got this killer headache the next day. I'm feeling a little bad about how I failed in self-control, right? And I said, of course, man, that really was a failure of self-control. That's a good one. No, I didn't say that. And it is a failure of self-control. Man, but what a victory in blamelessness. What a victory in courage. Knows, call your battle buddy. Now, this particular incident didn't stray into what we might consider like, oh my gosh, behavior, right? But this brother recognized the risk, recognized the situation he put himself in, just basically being a lot closer to things he doesn't want to be close to because of his choice and his lack of self-control in that time. He called his buddy. We talked about it. He's moved on, right? So a failure of self-control, a victory in blamelessness for this brother, a victory in courage, all right? I love that for him. I love that for the kingdom. I love that for you guys. I'm kind of almost looking forward to the next time I screw up, which probably won't be that long, that I can call somebody. And I got these guys I know I can call. Say, hey, I really blew this. And they could say, yeah, you're right, you really did. But let's talk about it. So, all right, way over time. Thank you very much. Here's some questions. God bless you all.